Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Time now to bring in the outstanding Ryan Snyder from On3.com and Blue White Illustrated. Ryan, welcome back. Happy holidays to you and your beautiful family.
Happy holidays, Steve. When are you heading down to the Peach Bowl? Do you have basketball in between there?
I've got a game Thursday night, but then Jack's going Monday night, and I'm getting there very early Thursday morning, like about 8:30. I'm getting there very early Wednesday morning at about 8:30.
Nice. Have you ever been to that stadium? It's incredible.
Have not been to that stadium. I've done a couple of games in the Hawks Arena. I have done three or four games at Georgia Tech. I did an NCAA tournament game in the old Georgia Dome. So I have not seen this place.
Yeah, when we were still with Rivals, the Rivals had its five-star challenge there for a couple of years, and we basically had the stadium to ourselves for a day, so I've toured it a couple of times, man. It is truly state-of-the-art, so you guys will enjoy it down there.
And for the fans going, by the way, you will not be crushed by concessions. Arthur Blank, when he had the stadium built and set up, the concessions are not quite down to Little League World Series levels, but they're extremely reasonable, so enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we all know that with Penn State, nothing's really going to change too much. There shouldn't be a lot of drama coming up. Do you forecast any drama?
No, I'm kidding. No, not at this point. And that's really been pretty much the theme since, I'd say, the end of November. As the season has progressed, well, put it this way, if you would ask me this, I would say early October, bye week area, there were certainly some players we were still monitoring, Penn State had interest in. But as the season has progressed, it feels like the staff has kind of made the decision to use any wiggle room they have, maybe put it a little bit more towards the portal. So, they have 25 guys committed right now. They really, of course, the coaches have been out on the road for, the past 2 weeks or so. And really, their focus while out on the road was portal guys and then visiting with the 25 players who are already committed. And, of course, they'll stop at some, major high schools for 2025 guys as well. But should be pretty drama-free on Wednesday, and that's just the way James Franklin likes it.
I feel, at least on paper, that Penn State is now in the process of stacking classes. Is that fair?
For sure, yeah. I mean, this is another top 15 class sitting right outside the top 10. And, I think last year they finished 14th and probably going to finish somewhere right around that same spot again this year. But was it 15 five-star players, I believe it is? I apologize, don't have the count right in front of me. But if we're looking at On3's rankings, at least, another deep class with four-star talent, which is always what you want. And this one has multiple top 150 guys as well. We'll get into some of the details or some of the specifics if you want to talk about them. But, when I always look at classes, obviously landing top 100 guys is incredibly important. If you look at the top schools out there, they're stacking top 100 guys. Penn State has a couple of them in this class, but they also have a pretty good chunk of guys in that top 100 to 200 range, really even top 150, which is always important, guys knocking on the door to get into that top 100. So about six or seven of those guys that I think, a lot of these, all these prominent schools would really want, and that's what you want to see. And then, of course, there's some guys that maybe don't have some of those rankings on the back end, but they're also guys who have steadily been rising, whether it's you go back to the summer or look at their senior season so far. So, there's one thing that James and the staff always do, it's getting out in front of a lot of schools and finding talent before others really make a push for those guys. And I think, if you look at, like I said, the middle tier of this class and even some of the guys that are a little lower ranked, I think they're going to be a good group of players who outplay those rankings. Franklin, obviously, and his staff fully believe that.
Based on where they are with guys leaving and now this group coming in, is this a good positional balance group?
Excellent. I mean, I would think, honestly, this may be positionally balanced wise, you know, as far as looking at the numbers they need at each position, maybe one of the best classes they brought in recent years. I mean, there's not really one spot that I look at and say, they could really use another, you know, whatever it may be, a defensive back or all lineman or whatever position you want to pick. I mean, four or five? I think they have five offensive linemen, which to go along with last year's class, which was four quality guys, all of whom were four stars. That was last year. This year, I think it's three stars, I believe is what it is, depending on the rankings, of course, that you use. But, you know, another very strong offensive line class that stands out a lot. And then, you know, to answer or to go back to your regular point, look at linebackers, two there. They got all the defensive back needs they want, multiple defensive linemen, two running backs. You got your top quarterback and Grunkmeyer. I mean, there really isn't one position I can point to. And that kind of also goes along with why we haven't seen, I don't want to call it drama, but movement here over the last couple of weeks. I mean, they knew that they were in a good spot and, you know, made sure to just prioritize and get those guys across the line.
Yeah, and a couple of guys that really stand out to you that were important, and on top of that, were there any guys along the way that had the ability to recruit other people?
For sure, there's always those big gets that Sean Fitz and I like to say. We're actually doing a story on that for later today. You know, as far as the players who really, you know, top of the rankings, guys who were highly coveted, I think you have to start with Quentin Martin out of Bell Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
Just got his second state championship last week. I was down there, and the thing with Quentin is, like, or at least watching that state championship game last week, like, you knew he was going to break one. It was so close so many times. His team opens up the second half, and boom, he busts off a 92-yard run to really put that game away. But, you know, looking at his career, you know, this is a player who rushed for almost 4,000 yards, has about 1,500 yards receiving. I think it was 80, I want to say 80 some touchdowns, 80 to 90 range. I apologize, don't have the number right off the top of my head. But
okay.
just a guy who's been incredibly productive, right? And someone who was coveted by, you know, all the top schools in the region, Ohio State, Florida State was another one that was in the mix. So I think getting him is massive. Liam Andrews stands out as well. He's going to play defensive line at Penn State. Another four-star player. He's out of Brookline, Massachusetts, went to the Dexter School. You know, the thing with Liam that's really interesting is, if you asked me a year ago, I was steadfast when he has to be an offensive lineman. I think he's such a good offensive lineman. And then he really wanted to play defense, and now as we've learned more and watched him more here, we'll have to clean up technique and different things. But, man, as far as a wrecking ball in the middle that Penn State could really use it at that three technique or even one. We'll see where he progresses. He really fits that mold. So you got Cooper Cousins in there, of course, another, mm-hmm. I think he's the fourth-ranked offensive guard in the country. He's out of Erie, McDowell out of Erie. You got Grunkmeyer, quarterback, of course, who I think at the time he committed, he was the 41st-ranked quarterback, I want to say,
yeah.
And now he's top 10. I think he's eighth. In the industry rankings, I think O3 has them at number seven. So they've done, as I said earlier, man, they've done a really good job at finding guys who are kind of below the radar, and then the summer's camp scene comes on, and the season, obviously their senior years, and, you know, so many of these guys have blown up over the last couple months.
Which is great. Now, this is also a time of the year when they have to do everything. Go on the road, recruit, finish up, get the class done, prepare for a bowl game, and so forth. You and I have talked about this before, but it's a topic that came up earlier today at practice, as a matter of fact, and that was about the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
College basketball, for all of the things that happen in college basketball, they've had an early signing day in November when they're right about the time the season begins. And there has been no issue with it for a couple of decades. Okay, that's a pretty good sample size. Why can't college football have an early signing period in August to alleviate this kind of month?
Oh, I pray. I pray it comes someday. It's so needed. You know, whether they – I don't know if they're going to do that. It feels – maybe you know better than me, Steve. I mean, I kind of felt – maybe a year or two, maybe more than that, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that would be a little more likely. It seems like a lot of the talk now is just getting rid of the early signing period and pushing it all back to February where it used to be. I don't understand it either. I think you can absolutely you know, have guys sign in August, and of course, if there's head coaching changes or whatnot, you know, maybe you got to give guys some wiggle room there. But I don't see why that would be an issue. I mean, Penn State had 24 of their 25 guys committed by the end of July. Most of those guys would have all signed and been happy to sign. And, you know, I know there's coaching changes and all that, but there's coaching changes in college basketball too, and they make it work. So I think it's needed. I think it should come at some point. And you know, you add in the transfer portal and bowl games and all this stuff. I don't know how Franklin does it. I don't know how any of those guys do it.
No.
It's an insane, what is it, 16 days basically just nonstop out on the road. And then I guess they come home for, what, maybe two of those days, two or three of them to work in a practice here or there and host guys on campus. But, you know, trying to juggle all that, you know, I know they get paid well, but I don't know what you would have to pay me to deal with the 16 days of hell, as I like to call it.
Right. No, because college basketball makes it work, right, and has for a long time. So I asked the question quietly today. I said, are the guys that you got verbals from, how many even remotely wavered between the time they verbaled and now? And they said none of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells me everything. In other words, they were ready to commit and just, I'm done with it.
They only had one player this whole season who was committed to them that went and visited a game elsewhere. And that player, yeah, he was never really wavering all that much. I think he just kind of wanted to go see a game more than anything.
Right.
But, like, if you go back over the years, you know, there's been way more than that. And a lot of those times it's just, you know, teammates going to games with their friends. Hey, I got a free ticket. Why not take it, right?
Yeah.
But the point remains, I mean, this is an issue that needs to be fixed and should be fixed. And I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, I guess is the right way, that I do like, you know, some of the changes they're trying to implement and seem to be trying to do it as soon as they can. But this has to be changed here at some point soon. I'm fine with an August 1. I'm fine with everything going back to February if that's what everyone thinks is best. But doing this right now just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. The coordinators for Penn State, has this been, as you've talked to any of the players going along, has this been a question for any of the players just to make sure of how it's settled or in any way?
Not really, no. We talk about this all the time. I mean, the way Penn State recruits is how they kind of eliminate those issues, right? It's not just the coordinators. It's not just their position coach. You add in the recruiting staff. I mean, pretty much all offensive players are recruited by basically the entire offensive staff and then vice versa there for defense. So the Koldenecki hire has been very positive from a lot of guys, and you know, pretty much everybody I've talked to is excited about that. And you know, we'll see if Tom Allen becomes official here soon. I was waiting for you know, that to become official before I bug guys about, you know, their thoughts and all that. But
sure.
I think defensively, I mean, these guys knew Manny Diaz was going to be coveted, whether it was this year or next year. And I think most of them understood that, you know, Manny was going to get an opportunity at some point. So, you know, what was the realistic chances of him being here all 4 or 5 years, whatever it may be? It was always kind of low, and they knew that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they've talked about that, you know, throughout the recruiting process. So that's just college football, and you know, you want to play at any of these prominent schools, you're going to deal with that. So, no real issues there. I know, like for example, Gronk Meyer's been very excited with Koldenecki, and. And I've talked to Quentin Martin and a few other offensive guys. You know, they're all really excited, and I don't see why any of the defensive guys wouldn't be excited about Tom Allen.
Right. I mean, well, that's what's interesting about it. I think if you're not involved in the recruiting part, I think there's usually a tendency to overthink it if you're not involved in it. And I think that's what happens in a case like this. People start coming up with scenarios. Could they lose somebody? Like, these guys pretty much have made up their mind.
Not only that, they don't want anything to do with going back.
Right, like exactly. They don't want to do it
they're
anymore.
Excited. They're excited to not have, I mean, obviously it's not just the coaches, right? I mean, there's a massive media scene here now that covers recruiting that I'm obviously very involved with. And, you know, it's not just having the coaches call you and text you, but there's a lot of media as well that, you know, are always reaching out and trying to figure out different things. So, you know, getting rid of that flood of, you know, constant people asking you different questions and different conversations, it's a major relief for a lot of these guys. So, and look, it's not like Penn State, you know, had some poor season or anything like that. They're in a great spot here moving forward, especially with the 12-team playoff. Like, even if there are some coaching changes, it's not like Penn State's going to fall off the map all of a sudden.
So you always do an awesome job on the high school to college recruiting. How much do you try and get involved, or do you have to get involved with portal recruiting? And if so, what to this point would you know about it?
Oh, I mean, if I could show you our site analytics over the last two weeks or so, it's been everything. I mean, that's been what has everyone's attention here, especially, you know, because of course Penn State's 2024 class is pretty much settled. So, right. Yeah, I mean, that's been a challenge to cover for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, college guys. Well, let's start with this. Most of these guys have agents now, right? So,
right.
One of the main things that I'm getting a lot of feedback on is agents are basically telling guys, hey, look, don't talk a lot, because you can hurt your leverage in different ways when it comes to NIL and different things. Or the less information out there, the better it often ends up being. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of these top guys who, yeah, maybe once they commit to whatever school it is, then they'll open up about, you know, why this, you know, school X was the school for me. But throughout that, you know, two-week period or whatever it is, you know, a lot of these guys, some of them will tweet out offers. You know, that's another thing. Like, a lot of, when the portals first opened, a lot of guys would put their offers out there and schools they were interested.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, a lot less of that now, too, where guys are just, you know, float behind the scenes, and then you can kind of, you know, leverage school X or school Y or school Z. And, you know, I hate using the word leverage, but that's really what this is becoming with NIL, especially in the portal. I mean, I hate the word free agency in college football, but it is that to some degree, where a lot of these guys are, you know, trying to maximize NIL deals as much as finding the best school for them, which is sad in a lot of ways, but that's kind of the Pandora's box that's been opened. The one other thing too, Steve, I'll say real quick is that, you know, from a source perspective, you know, if I'm trying to get people that, you know, I've built sources with over the years, it doesn't benefit them to talk either, because they don't want school X or school Y, you know, knowing which guys are on campus or who they're out visiting and things like that. So it's a situation where I tell people all the time, for high school recruiting, it's a lot different because everything's kind of out there in the open in the public. But for these 3 weeks, both sides, recruits and agents and also coaching staffs, you know, they're realizing that the less information that's out there, the better it is. So, you know, the schools they're competing against don't have to, you know, just don't know certain pieces of information. So it's getting more and more like that, which makes it hard to cover. And, you know, I know fans are craving for information, and we're doing the best we can at times. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said it was easy to figure out player X or player Y, because it's anything but.
Yeah, because, I mean, for the most part, with many of these guys, especially ones that are considering Penn State, you probably already had a great rapport with them to begin with a few years ago, and now it's probably almost impossible for you to break through the wall.
For sure. So, I mean, they have two guys committed right now, of course. Alan Heron's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, out of Shorter University, former Division II guy who absolutely fell through the cracks. I mean, we've had some talks with different scouts and whatnot over the last week since he's committed, and, you know, more than one has said that they think he's a potential NFL guy. So, you know, whether he comes in here and plays right away, time will tell. We'll see how that works out. They also added Chase Meyer, a solid kicker from Tulsa yesterday. I think he's going to come in and compete really well with Sanders Sadayak and, of course, Ryan Barker. You know, we'll see who wins that job down the road. But I know the name everybody wants to talk about, of course, is Julian Fleming, which I think that's where you were leading me to.
No, I really wasn't, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, you said, like, you know, a couple years ago, which, anyway, I feel like so many people have hinted at that the last couple of days. But now, of course, I mean, Fleming's still out there, hasn't announced anything publicly yet. You know, we know he went to Nebraska. We know he took an unofficial visit to Penn State. I believe it was not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before that.
Yeah.
And, I reached out to Julian pretty much right when we learned about him visiting. And he was, you know, we've always had a good relationship. Obviously, I've been covering him since he was a freshman in high school. And he was like, hey, look, you know, really appreciate you. I just have to keep everything incredibly quiet on this one. And that's just been a theme that we've seen with so many of these guys. So it's he hasn't really talked about it with anybody since, or hasn't really opened up about anybody. I don't think you'll find a single interview from him about this process.
No.
But I do think it's coming soon. Penn State feels like they're from what we've gathered, it seems like Penn State's in a good position, but you know, the ball is basically in Julian's court. I don't know if other schools are making a late push, which is always possible with other receivers committing elsewhere, mm-hmm. but Penn State seems to feel pretty good about this one from what we understand, and we'll see if he actually wears the blue and white, which I know so many fans have been coveting for such a long time.
We'll all find out together. All right. Although there's a good chance you may find out first. So, hey.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Ryan, thanks so much. Really appreciate it, as always, okay?
Of course, Steve. We'll catch up soon, man. Safe travels. Enjoy the holidays, and Merry Christmas, and happy holidays to everybody listening. Take care.
Happy holidays to you and that beautiful family of yours. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yep, take care.
Bet.